Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
And we are...
For Colored Nerds.
The conversations that black people have.
When white people are not in the room.
But we record them.
And we put them on the internet.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
You know what? It's going pretty good. We're recording this on Memorial Day weekend, so I'm honestly in a good mood just because... I'm at work right now.
But we're
going to be done in like an hour and then I'm going to leave. And yeah. I'm going to go hang out, honestly, the rest of the day and not do shit. Yesterday, I went to Coney Island for the first time. It was the shit. Mm. I would say if you live in New York, it is summertime or like springtime, fall time, go to Coney Island. It's so fun. It's like the funnest thing to do with a group. If you have kids, it's super fun. It's like, I felt like Mariah Carey yesterday. I felt like Beyonce yesterday.
So I've been chilling as well. I did not go to Coney Island, but I just kicked it. I actually caught up on sleep. I had a pretty... amazingly large sleep deficit, but I think I'm caught up.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool.
These are exciting moments in my life.
That's cool.
Let you know how washed I am.
Yeah,
but
I went to my cousin's 12th birthday party on Saturday night for a 6:45 dinner reservation, and that was the centerpiece of my weekend. Okay, it was the highlight and the centerpiece. And it is what it is. Changes. Being open to and accepting changes.
It's true. It's true. But I mean, I'm not complaining. I've had a great weekend so far. I actually feel the most rested I have in a long time.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Naps,
I'm glad.
Man. Naps to do that
I'm
for
glad
you.
That's good. Less attitude.
But we've come here for a purpose.
Yeah, we are gathered here today.
And that purpose is bittersweet.
It is bittersweet.
The sweet part is that we've got a new show coming.
Yes.
Mid-July.
Yes.
The Nod on Gimlet Media. Gonna be fire.
It's gonna be amazing.
If you stay through to the end of this episode, you might get to hear a little bit of it.
You might get to hear a little bit of it if you behave.
Yeah. But today, what we're gonna do is celebrate this show that we've been doing for like basically 3 years now.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna celebrate it by playing you some clips of said show.
Yes. Walk Down Memory Lane.
Walk down memory lane. Good song.
Down Memory Lane.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do today.
But yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to play a couple clips and talk about why we think this was important for you to hear, hopefully, again.
Yes, for the fifth time, because we imagine that you've listened to every episode four times already.
Yeah.
So
we're going to play some clips.
We're going to play some clips.
And I think you're going to kick this off, right?
I am.
All right, what do we got?
So this clip comes from... an episode titled Anything But Silence, featuring Ashley Ford.
This is one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, Ashley Ford is amazing. For those of you guys who don't know, Ashley Ford she's appeared on For Colored Nerds twice. She was at her first live show, and she was on this episode, Anything But Silence. It came out July 24th, 2015.
Mm.
And I know.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. But it was like right after Eve was born.
Yeah, I was on my quote unquote paternity break.
Yes, you were. You were out of the office for a couple months, I think.
For a month.
It felt like an eternity.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. It was you were in a really good mood, actually.
I was.
You were in a really good mood. And this was like right when this episode came. I think I recorded this episode right before I did the piloting for a sampler.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And also, I think I had just met my boyfriend maybe 2 days before I recorded this episode.
Wow.
I know.
A lot of key life plot points coming together all at one time.
I know. So it's like weird to go back and listen to some of the stuff because I'm like, yo, like I didn't even know. Like everything was about to change. So yeah, Ashley Ford, if you don't know, is she's just an awesome writer, editor, all around, just creative, super black woman. And she's written, right now she's at Refinery 29. Mm-hmm.
She's a features editor.
Yeah, she's a features editor at Refinery 29. But she has been at BuzzFeed. She's written for The Toast, RIP, we miss you. Yeah. She's just like, you know, she's an amazing essayist and she's a really cool human being. And she was one of the first guests on the show. And when she was here, basically every other word was like a gem. She was just dropping gems like bam, 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 bam.
Facts.
And to be honest, the clip I'm going to hear, the message that she had in there, I didn't really hear it the first time that I was in the conversation. And I didn't really hear it, like, even when after I listened to the episode. Because, you know, it just, well, I was in a different place in my life.
Yeah.
And, but when I was listening to stuff for, you know, to select a clip for today, this just felt really right on time. And I'm hoping it'll be the same for some of you guys listening. So in this conversation, at this point in the conversation, Ashley and I were talking about what keeps her going when she's just like in the muck of what it sometimes means to be a creative black woman. And, you know, just finding to get your voice heard all the time can just, it can take a lot out of you. And so I, you know, I asked her, like, you know, what do you do to sort of push past what can sometimes feel like a major just emotional, mental, creative block? And she said, you know, obviously her friends and colleagues, she name dropped some awesome, awesome women. And she also talked about her partner, Kelly, who's a super nice guy. She talks about him all the time. But then she talked about the ways in which she relies on herself. So I'm going to play that for you right now.
So it's like a combination of like love and accountability.
Love and accountability, really. I mean, and then there's, you know, it's very important to have that thing inside of you, too. Because you cannot always count on other people to sustain you. You have to have something inside you, some place that like nothing else can reach and no one else can reach. And it's just like this little thing that's just for you. And you pull, like, it's like a lever. It's like you pull that thing out in case of emergency. And I think what that thing is, at least for me, is a photo of myself at 11 years old. You know, like that's what it is for me. Ashley at 11, who reads everything she can get her hands on, who is really just looking for any story like hers, any story that resonates with her instead of having to read, you know, like, I mean, not that I love reading, but I was always just like taking like little things from everybody else's story and, you know, and trying to like form, you know, like a story that was my own or form a story that resonated with me as, you know, a young, sensitive, black little girl dealing with being, you know, like attracted to girls, you know, as well as boys and being, you know, dealing with having an incarcerated parent and another parent who clearly loved me, but also wasn't great at showing it in the way that I needed. A grandmother who I loved, but who was also highly critical. You know, like there were just all these things at once. And I just wanted something. I wanted to read a book and go, oh my God, that's my life. And I never found anything. And so I keep telling myself, you write because everybody, I believe, deserves to pick up a book and go, oh my God. Like, even if it's not like exact, but to just be like, oh, this is so simple, you know, like this is, oh my God, you know, everybody deserves a chance to have that. And the reason so many girls like me, so many young black girls didn't have that is because someone told, you know, someone older and black, you know, or whatever, that their story didn't matter. So I keep that, you know, and when things are especially rough, I whip that out. And, you know, for a little while, I pretend that this is not my choice. It's my duty.
Duty.
Wow.
Isn't she just something?
That, honestly, that episode and this, you know, it's certain people out there who you feel like just get it. You know what I'm saying? Every time they open their mouth, it's like, and Alanya, Ayanla, I always fuck up her name.
Ayanla.
Ayanla. like fix my life episode, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like the thing I appreciate about Ashley so much is that I feel like we've actually shared a lot.
Yes.
in this thing.
Yeah.
In this podcast over this time. But like every time Ashley opens her mouth, she is sharing this like deeply personal anecdote or life experience, you know, that connects with whatever you are going through.
Yeah, right.
Either now or in the future in a way that is just so profound. And, you know, honestly, I'm always frankly in awe of how emotionally aware she is of her own feelings to mm-hmm. be able to like tap into those experiences and look at them in such a constructive and frankly beautiful way. Like I look at a picture of myself at 11, I'm thinking about like, honestly, you thinking about like all the bullshit that I was preoccupied with
yes.
at 11.
Whatever you were wearing.
Yeah, exactly. Not necessarily, you know, what I was lacking emotionally and what could have provided me fulfillment in a way that should also guide me now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, when she said it before, I think I just wasn't like, I don't know. We have been making podcasts for like 7 or 8 months.
Yeah.
And I guess I hadn't really been doing creative work for that long. And even still now, I mean, it's only been it's been like 2 years since then, but 2 years in podcasting is like,
yeah,
25 years in the real world. But it, yeah, I really like that. The idea, like, it's really easy to get caught up in any of the things that can sort of like demotivate you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like you're tired, you feel like you don't have time for yourself or anybody in your life. You feel like what you're making is maybe not the best representation of you. You think it could be better. You think you could be better. You think, you know, things would be different if, you know, X or Y or Z person cared about the work that you were doing, or if they, you know, if they big upped you or whatever. Like, it's so easy to think about all of that stuff and give it too much power and forget really why you're doing stuff and you're making something a lot of, especially I think if you're a person of color, a lot of the time you are making something because there was a hole. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a hole where you wanted something that was yours or that like felt real to you to exist. And there wasn't anything there. And so you're making something to kind of fill that hole. And you forget that all the time. I forget that all the time. So I heard that and I was just like, oh, like, you know, it's a privilege to be tired from this. It's like a privilege to be irritated by it. It's like a privilege. Is it a privilege to really be spending 10 hours with Pro Tools at a time? I don't know. But like, you know, I think about... like it's we've been working really hard, you guys, on the new show.
Yeah.
And like it's like we're operating, I think we're doing different stuff. We're operating at a different level. There are a lot of things that are trickier that we want to make sure that we get right. And it can be really frustrating. But then I not only like listening to this clip made me think about like where I was 2 years ago, where the show was, where you were 2 years ago, but also like now we have this whole new opportunity to do something really, really cool. We're going to make a thing that doesn't really exist. And I'm really, really, really thrilled about that. And I'm going to try to hold on to that feeling because I know that we are in for about at least a smooth 4 or 5 weeks of just a lot of late nights,
yeah,
a lot of frustration. It's ultimately really worth it. And not just because we're going to end up with something that we like at the end of it, but that also we're going to be making something for other people like us, you know, who want to hear themselves reflected. So.
Yes. Yes, and. Yes, and this. The other thing that makes me really excited about hearing this clip, and also you articulating that, like, at the time you weren't really ready to receive this information, is that I think shows a lot of progress from then to now, is when we've said this a lot. But when we first tried to start this podcast, Brittany was somebody who was very opposed to the idea of sharing.
Yes.
You know, like just literally, like,
yes,
it caused her like legit stress and fear.
So much stress.
I should have counted the times that you maybe just like lashed out at me because you maybe were just afraid of actually just talking.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't want to. Why would I? I mean, even still, I share a limited amount of information.
Fair. But you, like the amount that you share and the way in which you share and you use your own personal experiences to provide perspective about other things is different. And it's like, it happens a lot more often, happens a lot more frequently. And I think it's one of the things that I've appreciated about doing this with you.
Thank you.
As I've even learned things about you. I haven't necessarily wanted to learn things about
okay,
you.
Okay, okay.
But
okay.
It has been nice to receive that information.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Eric. I'm going to take the good pieces of what you just said. I'll carry them with me into the future. And everything else I will save to throw back in your face at the appropriate moment.
I look forward to that.
But that was my first clip. I just want, you know, shout out Ashley. Showing us love when we really didn't have a lot. It was early. She believed in the dream. So shout out Ashley. Thank you for being on the show.
So my clip is not as serious as your clip.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it's pretty ridiculous. And that's actually why I've chosen it.
Okay, it's good to have a mix.
So, a year ago, this says a year ago, we recorded this episode called I'm Thankful.
Okay.
And we've done it twice.
Yes, around Thanksgiving.
Yes, always around Thanksgiving time,
or Christmas
roughly.
Or something? Yeah.
Something like that. So, the first time it happened, it was in response to just honestly a lot of, it was in response to the dumpster fire of what has become like the news.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
At the time, like, it was around the first time we had heard of Rachel Dolezal. Shockingly and sadly, that was not the last time we had heard about Rachel Dolezal. In addition, there was the shooting at Mother Emanuel Church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we decided to do this episode just to pick out a few things that we were really thankful for, to not have to engage those narratives, not because we, you know, didn't acknowledge that those things had happened, but because, like, literally the news was unrelenting in a way that it didn't feel easy to access any sort of, like, joy.
Yes, I would agree.
So this clip is from you, Brittany. And it's you talking about your late discovery.
Oh my God.
Of a snack food that
I remember this.
That most people think is really important. So I'm just going to play it.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so back to you.
Oh my God. You're going to hate me for my second one.
Oh Lord.
Okay, so y'all, I rarely am wrong.
You sound like me just now.
I know. I'm rarely wrong. But, like, when I am wrong, I really do like to own up to it as soon as possible because it's dickish and rude to just try to sit in the juices, just to, like, sit in the au jus of just your wrongness. So I want to go ahead and come clean right now. I've been living 27 years on this planet, and I didn't want to listen to y'all when y'all told me that Cheez-Its.
What?
Yes, Cheez-Its were delicious. The fuck? I'll tell you something right now. If you're over the age of 7... Or 12. I'll bump it up. If you're over the age of 12 and you haven't tried Cheez-Its yet, don't start now because the shit is addictive. I honestly, really, and motherfucking truly, I don't know. I don't know why. I think I just used to feel weird about cheese when I was a kid because I just didn't understand where it came from, which is probably ancestral because you know that 75% of black people.
Lactose intolerant.
I struggle. So as a child, I probably was like, we didn't have cheese in Africa like this. We didn't have this cow's milk cheese. We didn't have this orange British cheddar cheese in Africa. So
let alone American cheese.
Right. Let alone American cheese, which just melts on contact of hot breath. So, like, I don't understand that at all whatsoever. So I was very wary of Cheez-Its. And also, I was a really picky eater when I was a kid. But I didn't like that peanut butter crackers. You know, sometimes peanut butter crackers would come with the cheese crackers and the peanut butter.
That shit was good.
Well, ooh. I mean, ooh. Like, yeah, I just wasn't. I think that freaked me out. Because I just thought about, like, well, would I put cheese and peanut butter together in my real life? No. So why am I eating these orange cheddar-ass crackers with this sweet-ass peanut butter? That's nasty.
That's
I also didn't eat jelly. I still don't eat jelly. What? I didn't eat jelly as a child. I think it's nasty. I think jelly is... jam, I can kind of fuck with in
what
certain
the fuck
contexts.
What's the difference?
No. Jelly is different. Jelly has corn syrup and shit in that jam. Jam, I can kind of be okay about. Preserves, I will preserve myself. My body. I am preserving my body.
What did he say? I gotta moisturize my situation and preserve
my sexy. Exactly. I haven't followed Diddy on any social medium in probably 6 or 7 years. But those were good days. Yeah. With just the plus signs, positive energy. Take that. Yeah, no. Fuck, man. So, like, I was coming back from Denver on the same flight
where I was reading Bitch Planet. And I had gotten, you know how like the Sabra hummus has like the little pretzel crackers that come with it?
Yeah.
So they, you know, they give you too much hummus for the crackers. And you're sitting there feeling like an asshole with this cup full of hummus.
I ain't ashamed. I dig my finger in it.
I was going to say.
I ain't ashamed, but I paid for this shit. I'm about to eat it.
I don't want to do that. I like to have a little bit of crisp with that. So like I was stressed out at the airport. I was like, probably gonna miss my flight, I think. I was like, you know what? Today's the day I'm feeling free. Let me try these Cheez-Its. Oh my God. I put them Cheez-Its in that hummus. I was on the plane. Oh my God. Oh my God. Sorry, my body is just remembering what the fuck it felt like for the first time.
First of all, this is the corniest conversation we had
in a long time. I'll tell you, I put them Cheez-Its in this hummus, and I was sitting there reading Bitch Planet. I put this shit in my mouth. I was like, bitch, what? Like, what? That's how I felt. I could not fucking believe how good it was. So now I'm always like standing there.
Does that take you back down memory lane?
It does. It does take me back down memory lane.
So, real quick, I just want to note, this is not long. This is not a long, deep preamble about or deep, you know, story about why this is significant. But it's just like that. That is probably the most random thing we've talked about, maybe on the show. But if in the moment, like I remember, like we both were straight up cackling as you told this story, and like it was a real stressful time. And I wanted to say thank you for that, because like I think even if no one else sadly had as much enjoyment of listening to that at the time, you know, like doing this allowed me to like de-stress and disengage from like what was a lot of real intensity in the world. And I think that is important in general, to always to make sure that like everything doesn't have to be serious.
No.
As in fact, it should not be. Some things should be fairly ridiculous, you know, and that is okay. And it's okay to let yourself just like ramble about. This is a longer clip in the episode.
I know.
It's okay to ramble about Cheez-Its for 5 to 6 minutes. With no real point.
They taste good. The point is that they taste good. I still stand for Cheez-Its. I had to step away from Cheez-Its, though.
Really?
I can't eat them as much. I used to, sometimes if I was like coming to work and I hadn't had breakfast, I would buy Cheez-Its. Like the little mini pack from the bodega.
So you were trying to save yourself from a habit.
Exactly. It's like cigarettes. Like, just don't start now. I still love them. God, I just thought about how good they are. And I've even tried to get like other versions of Cheez-Its. Like they have like the last July or whatever sort of healthy flavor that is. Those are not as good as Cheez-Its. Mm-hmm. They also have like the Annie's Cheddar Bunnies. Not as good as Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its are perfectly like, they're perfectly salted.
Yes.
I can't describe what they
Accurate.
Do. They're perfectly salted. They have like, they're perfectly crisp. They are just, I mean, there's honestly, to me, they're one of the finest snack foods possible. I actually took a BuzzFeed quiz recently, and they were like, they just showed you 6 different sets of junk foods, and you had to pick which was your favorite. They're just to be like, I think the title of the quiz is like, how trash are you? Or something. I'll put it in the show notes. It's an amazing quiz. But they want, like, basically, I didn't realize until the quiz was over, but they were testing your snack food like choices. Like, do you make good choices or do you make terrible choices? Like, do you have bad taste in junk food? And I was only 0.01% trash, because my junk food choices were amazing. And of those choices, I want to say the last or penultimate choice that I made in the quiz was to pick Cheetos over other things. I have a friend
who
picked Cheez-Its. Oh yeah, I've never eaten a Cheeto in my life. Yes, I picked Cheez-Its over lots of other things. And one of my best friends, I hate to out her on the show, but she actually picked, I think, Nilla wafers when Cheez-Its were an option. And I was embarrassed personally.
That's tough, though, because like even just like vanilla wafers, maybe vanilla wafers on their own. Okay.
But in banana pudding.
In banana pudding, though.
They're amazing.
Woo. That would fuck up your whole
shit. If you haven't really had real banana pudding, then, like, you need to get it together. This is a good season.
Yeah.
So, like, spring, summertime is a good season for banana pudding. It doesn't need to be baked very long because, you know, you make the pudding or the custard in advance. It's good.
And in a pinch, like, the magnolia banana pudding is actually also
really good. Yeah, the flavors are really nicely balanced. The texture is a little different than what I'm used to, but the flavors are really nicely balanced. And it'll definitely remind you of home. Yeah. But, yes, shout out Cheez-Its holding me down. Also, since we're sharing, I met my boyfriend a couple years ago, and you know, we went on a couple dates, and it was like, it was cool, but I was also about to go on vacation with my family. I was really tired. I was like doing I met him, and then I had to like immediately come back to Gimlet to do the piloting of the show, and then leave to meet a family vacation and then go back to work. And so I was like, I met him, I thought he was really cool, I thought he was awesome, but I was also like, you know, right when you know how men are, you know how New York is. If you meet somebody and you go on vacation, it's like you might as well have died.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're gone.
Yeah, you're gone. So we went on a couple dates and he was really cool, but I was still trying to be chill, to play it cool, because, like, you know, I was like, okay, this guy he's cool. He could be a cool person for me to spend time with. Yeah. Let me not just like try and do the most right now and be like super on his jock right before I'm about to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. If he's cool, then when I come back, they'll be around.
If you love them, let them go.
Exactly. That was what I was thinking after date two. If you love them, let them go. Date one. We had one date. That's right. So then he started listening to For Colored Nerds. And he heard this episode, which is like, it's just scary. It's equal parts like good and scary, because it's good because it's like, if you fuck with me after you listen to this shit, then you fuck with me. And if you don't fuck with me, then you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Weed him out. You actually, that was some of your dating advice you gave to me before. I think if I record my thoughts, I will not find a husband. And you were like, actually.
Real talk.
It could really work. And I'm shocked that you were right. I think it was just chance that you were right. Okay. I think logically,
sure,
it really doesn't make any sense based upon the way that I share on this platform. But he listened to that show, the episode, and heard the Cheez-Its. Mm-hmm. And I know her, so I didn't maybe talk to him like a day. And he texted me and he was like, oh my God, this story about the Cheez-Its. I was like, oh my God, this is bad. I was sitting in Gimlet in the old office, no air conditioning. I was stressed because I'm trying to do this pilot. I need to go on vacation with my family the next day. I'm like sitting there like, oh my fucking God.
Staring at them three dots.
Right, exactly. And so then I'm sitting there like, oh my God, he listened to this show. I'm like, this is bad. He's never going to speak to me again. He loved the whole part about the Cheez-Its because he likes Cheez-Its too. Not as much as I do, turns out. if you do.
Surprise.
Yeah. But that was, he was like, I want to go on another date with you before you go on vacation.
Wow.
So we went out that night, had our second date. And like the second date, that was when I was really like, okay. So honestly, the Cheez-It story got me from first date to second date with the love of my life.
Look at God.
He works in mysterious ways, because that shit don't make a lick of sense to me.
He will order your steps. Oh man, that's beautiful. That's a good story.
I know you didn't know that either.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that before I chose this thing. I just thought it was fairly ridiculous, but I thought it was a good story.
It is a good story.
It cracks me up seriously every time I hear it. I've listened to this actually surprisingly like a couple times.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, Cheez-Its. Shouts out.
Except I want to let the people at Cheez-Its know.
One, this is not an ad.
This is not an ad. This is not branded content.
Right,
this is just feedback, customer feedback. In airports, you don't sell the mini bags.
Ooh.
You guys sell only the big boxes.
Yeah.
That is not healthy
yeah.
for me.
It's not. It's also not practical in terms of from a storage point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually at that point, everybody, you know, you hit like, what is it, Hudson's or whatever.
Yes.
You don't have space. You've already packed your backpack to the brim
right.
to accommodate the trip.
Right.
You don't have room for a big ass box.
No. You need to sell the bags. I know they have two sizes of bags. They have the mini, mini bags, and mm-hmm. they even have the slightly larger bags.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare they even have the slightly larger bags. They usually just have the big ass box. I would love it if you had the mini bags. I hate to say it, your competitor, which is not as good, late July, last July, whatever they're called, the natural crackers, they do make the small packages, and they sell them at all the SIBO markets in JFK Airport. So I just want to let you guys know that you could be crushing it in airports if you would just make the mini bags available in the airport. So that's all.
Trying to give you money, mm-hmm. you know, just mm-hmm. make it easier for us to give you money.
Exactly. So the black dollar, if you want it, here it is.
And on that note.
On that note.
I actually think we should probably throw it to a break.
Yes.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Second half of the show.
Yeah.
Pop, 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 pop.
So we're playing some clips of important moments from the show.
Yes, important moments in Black history, yes. Really, when you break it down. Important moments in Black history.
And the next one, is, I think we're back to you.
Yes, we are back to me. This clip actually needs a little introduction. If you've been rocking with us for a while, then you're going to know this story. And if you haven't, then... I think that this might bring a little sunshine to your day. So I'm just gonna set this up real simple. So one day I came into the studio, like Biggie Smalls, with a story to tell. And I can just hop right into this clip. I just wanna say before we get started that this was a true defining moment in our friendship for me.
Oh man.
So let's get this started.
The suspense is like killing me right now.
Back, we're glad you guys are here.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, you know what? I just remembered something. I wanted to share this with you on the air because I wanted to embarrass you and upset you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm always looking forward
to
that.
I just remembered, I kind of don't trust you because last week when we finished recording.
Oh my God.
And after we went to Popeyes. And Popeyes is a strange place because no matter what you actually want, they can't give it to you because some other combination of like 20 other things plus what you originally asked for is somehow cheaper.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I want like two pieces, like these two pieces of chicken and like fries and a biscuit, but like no drink. And he's like, no, it's cheaper if you get a drink and the extra piece of chicken. And I'm like, how the fuck is that possible? Anyway, I got an extra wing last week. And I gave it to you because I'm a kind person, and I know that you were hungry. I'm sitting in line. I just paid or whatever. I just got my food. Before we even sat down, this whole story incriminates us both. I reached inside the box of chicken because we're still waiting for your food to start eating my food while we were standing still in line because I'm depraved. And so you were like, "Oh, you know, give me that wing right now." To hold me over. Because I was going to eat right then, but you were taking food home for you and your lady, right?
Yeah.
Cold Popeyes.
SMH. Hey, put that in the microwave. That's a good meal.
I'm not going to shade you for that, actually. Because what I am going to shade you for is the fact that I gave you a fucking wing. I gave you an extra Popeyes wing.
It was
And
it
I
was
gave
real
you the
hot.
Larger one.
It was
I
had, real hot.
It was hot. It was fresh. It was fresh out the fryer. And
it was
I gave
spicy,
you,
though. That's how that? I looked at you sideways because you didn't
Because I
spice.
Like to eat. I like regular flavored chicken. And I like blackened ranch. Mm. Anyway, we're going back to talking about you. You tore up the wing, the larger one, again,
yeah.
That I gave you, the kindness of my heart. Why turn around, fam, as I'm going to just address y'all for this story, fam, I turn around. I see Eric walking back from the garbage can
with just like the drumstick and the other part with the two bones in it and no wingtip. Now, I hadn't been turned around that long for him to have eaten the entire, like, eaten the wingtip and then thrown it away. Eric took hot, fresh, delicious, juicy Popeye's chicken, took the wingtip off and just wasted the food. Just threw it away.
That's true.
You did waste food. And I realized then, I was like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why'd you throw away that wingtip? And you were like, oh, real casual too. Oh, I don't eat that part.
I don't eat wingtips.
And I'm looking at you like, what the fuck? First of all, I eat them. And like a lot of people who really eat chicken.
People who really eat chicken,
you try to call yourself. Truly.
Whoa, you coming from my chicken credentials?
Yeah, people who really eat chicken like you call yourself. It's crazy because how many times have we eaten Popeyes together? You know what I mean?
It's not a thing.
Anyway, finish the story. What I'm saying is that when I found out that you, as an adult, because I didn't really start eating wingtips until I was like 22, 23, but you, as a grown man of 28, about to be 29 in what, 3 months?
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Call yourself grown and you don't eat fucking wingtips. Not only that, you didn't even offer it to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm a grown black woman in your presence. You know what I'm saying? We have a lot of love and care between us. We have a friendship that's like almost a decade old now at this point. And you didn't even offer me. Anyway, what I'm saying is that I just remember that you don't eat wingtips and then I don't fucking trust you.
What? I hate you. You petty as shit. I have truly forgot all about that.
I never forgot.
Oh my God. Okay.
Well, you don't understand.
Let's do it.
My ex-boyfriend texts me 2 weeks after this came out. I hadn't seen him probably in a year or two at that point. He was like, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. Who the fuck doesn't eat wingtips? I'm like, this is something we actually can agree on. That is a great question.
I stand by, to this day, I stand by my position. I do not eat wingtips. They are a vestigial, like, piece of the chicken experience. Mm-mm. You don't need it. Mm-mm. There is not, for the amount of effort that you have to invest to get the chicken out is not worth it. You got the hard pieces of gristle in there that, like, even fuck up your appreciation as if you were just eating, like, the skin, you know? Like, it's just too complicated. Mm-hmm. And I personally just don't feel like that's something that I should have to go through for that experience. And you're petty as shit for bringing that back. Literally.
Look,
years later.
People are going to want to hear it. I just was like, my mentions is going to want
to
hear it.
We're real. Like, I'm not going to lie. Folks really tried to comfort me.
It was good.
Because of the fact that I didn't eat wingtips. Mm. And, you know, I'm willing for whatever this second wave will be.
Wait till the mogul listenership gets wind of this. This is going to be great. Right on time. Right on time for the full release. I'm ready.
But I still stand by that. The thing that makes me happy about this clip, one, it had me crying real tears. literally, like, oh my God. Because that was a funny day. We really got into you. I'll never forget the look of shock in your face when I actually, because I also like threw it. I like threw
real
it.
Real nonchalant.
Yeah, like I was shooting a basketball into the trash can and you could hear it like go do, do, do. And then you just looked and you were like, gasped. Like, what are you? And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What's wrong? Like, I'm trying to, you know, I'm eating my chicken. And you were like, I can't believe you just did that.
It's just like, first of all, part of the joy of growing older as a black person is eating deeper and deeper into the chicken carcass. Like, by the time you're 30, you need to be eating cartilage. I didn't eat cartilage 10 years ago, but I do now because I'm growing on a path.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I'm 60, I'm probably going to eat the entire end of the bone, honestly. And the other thing is, too, is I'll tell you this about wingtips. A lot of bird bones are hollow.
Yeah,
even if you do get a little bit of the bone in there, it's like you can chew it. It's fine, especially the tip part. Like the tip part is usually so fried, I just bite the tip off. Like I just bite it off and I chew it, and it's so delicious. It's just so crispy and satisfying. I think if you I'm gonna be honest with you. Like I'm gonna share my journey,
uh-huh.
And I haven't always eaten wingtips. Okay. But one day, I don't know what got into me. It's just like something got into me. I was like, I'm going to do something different. Mm-hmm. And I just like, it's like, it was almost ancestral. The tip of the wing cried out to me and I bit it. And it was like, it was so satisfying. I have not fucking looked back. The other thing is too, that's how I know that you've been living outside of your mama's house for a long time.
I have.
Because the thing that you're not allowed to do, two things you're not allowed to do in waste a black household. One is waste food. The other one is whatever little bullshit part of the food that you don't eat as a child, you have to give to the adult at your table. So even when I was a kid and I didn't eat wingtips, my mom was like, it's good meat on there. Pass that over. And I know my cousin Elaine. Sorry to call her out. I know my cousin Elaine. Whenever I wouldn't eat the gristle, because she'd be like, mm-mm. I know all the gristle goes to Elaine because she likes to chew on it. And then now I like to chew on it too. I mean, look, I will say this also too. Have you ever roasted a chicken?
Yeah, of course.
So like, I would say when you really roast a chicken very often, you know I used to roast chicken at least once a week. Yeah. It was like my main, that was like the only thing that I
feel
ate.
Like I learned how to initially do it from something you told me, like a recipe you've seen.
Yes, that is like, that was like my jam. I had to take a break from roast chicken because I was eating it too much. I was turning into a Boston Market. And so when you really learn intimately like the chicken like that, you start to appreciate, this sounds so weird, but you start to appreciate different things about the cut of meat. Okay. And then certain pieces of the meat just become more and more appealing to you. You know, we're supposed to be on a journey and I don't know where you're headed, not eating wingtips. So I stand by my comments then. I stand by my comments now.
I do as well.
I hope it's open season on you as far as wingtips are concerned. So.
I stand in the belief that I am living my best life right now without wingtips. So that's fine. But I am happy that we got to talk about our love for Popeyes one more time. Like, I mean, just to take a moment on that, Popeyes in many ways has been like part of the glue that's probably held us together.
Our friendship and also the show. Like, there was a Popeyes really close to, we recorded like a lot in your old office. Yeah. And there was a Popeyes down the street on Court Street. Mm-hmm. And we went there a lot. Before we had our first meeting.
Yes.
At Gimlet, like when they first were like, we'd love to meet you guys, come in. We did two ridiculous things. The first thing that we did is we met up way super fucking early.
Yeah. For no reason.
It's probably the last time, also, first and last time that Alex and Matt saw me with a full face of makeup on. And then we ate at Popeyes, we ate lunch. And then we got to Gimlet super early. We listened to Kendrick Lamar, All Right, because To Pimp a Butterfly had just come out that Monday. It had just come out that Monday. And we were like, okay, now we're ready to talk to these people.
Oh, my God.
And
yes.
Look at us now.
We showed up basically the equivalent of drunk. Because the euphoria that you get after like after a box of Popeyes is real. I don't remember what I said.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows?
Luckily, it worked out.
Luckily, it worked out. But yeah, this Cajun sparkle, that good old Cajun sparkle.
Shout out to Popeyes.
Shout out to Popeyes. If you guys are interested in advertising with the nod,
holla your boy.
Let us know. You can email us at forcolornerds@gmail.com. We're still receiving inquiries, so
yes,
go ahead.
Lord knows. Okay.
You're up. This is it. This
wow.
Is it. This is the end.
So. The last clip, oh man.
Oh man.
The last clip that we'll play, or that I'm going to play, is from an episode that we did called The Wonder Years.
Oh man.
This was a while back.
Yeah.
At least 2 years back.
Yeah.
And honestly, this is probably one of my favorite episodes of the show. Because like, the thing that I found really valuable about the show is, and I was actually telling Beth this before you got here. Mm-hmm. Is that like almost all of my like major life milestones are captured in some way or shape or form within the show.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nice to have like some sort of record to go back and kind of understand like just at least a little bit of where I was at.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And this particular episode was us actually reflecting on the first episode that we recorded.
Oh, wow. Oh, I remember that episode. That was like when you were like, I ain't never having no kids.
Well, I was like, I don't know.
I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to do me.
I don't think I used those exact words.
I was paraphrasing. So.
Yes. But yeah, it was kind of the first, it was after a significant change. But as this clip will kind of outline, you also experienced some significant change. It might not make that much sense, but I will explain after you get this.
Okay.
Okay. it's crazy. Honestly, it's crazy to hear you say that, like, I've been the catalyst for all this. Because, you know, one,
don't
I'll take
give
that.
Yourself credit.
I'll take
shit,
that.
Damn, I saw your that. Face forming that. Oh, I'll take the credit.
I will take that credit, you know, and I appreciate that. And it's just interesting. Let me tell you, this is the text that I usually get from Brittany on any given day.
I don't even know what you're going to say.
So usually I'm like texting Brittany. I'm like, what's going on right now? Like, were you able to do this for the podcast? Have we done this? What we got to do? When we doing this? You'll yeah. text me and be like, Eric, I'm editing right now. I can't yeah, listen to your voice and text you. I just can't do this. Bye. And you just stop responding. And, you know, it goes back and it's forth true. Like that. Like, generally outside of this room, we don't like each other.
No.
We don't mm-hmm. like each other at all. Mm-mm. So, like,
my main topic of conversation when I talk about you is how much I don't like you.
Trust, it's the same exact way. But that said, it feels amazing in this moment right now to hear that I am the catalyst for all this positive change within your life. So I just know that I'm going to always cherish this episode, and I'm going to always cherish this moment, and you will never, ever forget it.
God knows the truth, so I don't even need to be worried about that. You need to give the credit where credit is due, which is to Queen Peanut, young Queen Peanut, who's true. Coming to us. The album drops July.
I mean, it's dropping. It's dropping. In stores.
Yes.
All right. So, while you can dabble in petty, I can dabble in petty as well.
Oh, my God.
I just wanted to throw that out there. So, the context for this clip, this episode was part of documenting, like, a realization I had that I was an adult. Which seems like a ridiculous thing.
I couldn't even make myself laugh because I was like, you really should have known because I knew you were an adult.
But I have been trying to avoid, like, the moniker of adulthood really freaked me out. I associated with all the, like, basically a relinquishing of joy
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
resigning yourself.
Oh, you say give up your dreams, your goals, your hopes, your freedom, happiness. And you were like, mm-mm, I don't want no part of that.
Yeah. And basically, over the years since that conversation, mm-hmm. where I said I didn't want to be an adult.
First episode came out the gate. That was your identity.
A lot of things changed and made me not only realize that I was an adult, but that I liked being an adult, and that was great. And I still had access to all those things. And to be honest, my life was better. Like,
it is better.
Significantly. That was great. That was a significant revelation. It's something I would come back to this and listen to just to document. But the other thing that's really great about this episode is in that moment, you share that me, like, doing these things kind of early, like, mm-hmm. and having such a significant, like, change from, like, wanting to experience these, like, pivotal milestones, specifically, like, you know, getting married, having a kid, mm-hmm. like, you know, focusing on building a family and community and all that. You mentioned that kind of inspired you that you might want some of these same things.
I've always wanted the same things, but yes, I didn't realize that they were coming. I thought that I had way more time. I was like, I have at least like 15 years until I have to even think about this.
But yes, and you said that basically like this kind of like released a tiny bit of stress from the way in which I've accessed those things.
Yeah.
And like, you know, things turned out pretty great.
I would still say that that's true. I find it very telling that you use the clip of tape wherein you were doubling down on the fact that I gave you credit for something. But knowing your character and who you are as a person, I'm not surprised.
Well, I think that's, I mean, one, it's I try to do what I say. And in the clip, I said that, you know, this is something I would come back to. And I'm a man. If nothing else,
you're a man of your word.
It's very true. So I wanted to kind of close the loop there before we did not have a chance to. But two, you try more often than not, try your damnedest to not give me credit.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you do give me credit, you try to like couch it in like, this was the one time you were right. This was actually some good information that you gave me. These are the types of ways in which you try to like, when you try to downplay my contribution to your life. But I appreciate this episode because you did not try to downplay, you know, the positive influence that I've had. And I don't say that as if you haven't had a positive influence on me. You
okay,
have.
Okay.
You have.
I think so.
But you often try to disregard that this has been a reciprocal
relationship. That is not true. I do give you credit.
I do give you credit sometimes.
Sometimes.
But sometimes, the other thing is, though, is that I know about you, you always have your fishing line out. You're like, where is the credit? How can I get more credit? Where is, you have a credit institution, your credit union.
I am.
Credit union, you know what I'm saying? Unto himself. But yes, no, I mean, you know, you put yourself out there and you had a lot of firsts.
I did.
You had a lot of firsts back to back. And you know what's interesting is at the time, and that's crazy how like this whole period of your life moves so fast.
Yeah.
I remember our friend Iman and I were just talking the other day about how the day that you said that you and Carla were like, oh, you know, we're pregnant, we're going to have a baby. And like, what a shock to both of us that was, because it was just like kids. Like, we didn't know anybody who had any damn kids. We're just like, kids? Like, it's time for that yet? You know, like, already, like, that's like so, it was like so wild to me. And now it's like, now that you're, you know, 31, it's like not weird. But we still, I mean, to be perfectly honest, you're still the only one of our friends that has any kids.
Yeah.
Really. But like, it's like, what like blew my mind, because I think when you told me this, it was right before my 27th birthday when you guys when you told everybody, and it was like it blew my mind at 26, and now it's like I'm still not there yet, like I'm still not like ready to be a parent, but it's like I can deal with the fact that in 2 to 3 years I'll feel differently about that.
Yeah.
When before it was like unconscionable. So like you and it's like been really interesting to see you and Carla sort of try to find other people with a similar lifestyle and try to chart a way forward and figure it out. It's just, it's really astonishing, because it's like, it all happened, like you said, it's all on tape and it all happened really fast.
Yeah, very fast.
Yeah, it happened really fast. But now it's like you're, honestly, I mean, I'm not trying to shade your age, but you're honestly just like old enough now that it's just not that weird. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, okay, you have a kid.
It's normal. It's
expected, it's just like, it is what it is. And it's not like it was necessarily so weird then, it was just like such a break from what everybody else in our friend group was doing. But now it's like, what, you're married, we have what, some other people are engaged, mm-hmm. some other people probably gonna be engaged in the next year and a half, and you know, we got some weddings coming up, mm-hmm. we got some other friends who are already married. It's just really interesting to just see how, like, you know, if it feels like it, you know, you wake up one day and you're like, okay, nobody's married, and then you look up and you're like, shit, a lot of y'all asses got married. That happened, like, and it feels like it happened, like, overnight.
Folks was moving.
I listened to that episode recently, because that was really, like, a part two to, like, you know, the part one being the very first episode that we recorded, Death of Adulthood, about your fears around becoming an adult, my desire to become an adult, and feeling like I have failed miserably, repeatedly. And it's just cool to... having this show makes me really happy that we have this whole record of a very specific period in our lives where a lot of things changed really rapidly, but we can go back and sort of access how we were thinking or what we were feeling at that time. And, you know, not everybody has that. So it's really, really cool. It's like, you know, even just like hearing the, you know, that episode, the Ashley Ford episode, I was just like, gosh, like it was only 2 years ago, but everything was so different.
Yeah.
But we're still the same people, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, this was, I mean, you know, it's a beautiful note to end on.
It is, but there's one more thing we got. There's one more thing.
You're playing another?
One last clip. Surprise clip.
So this is, I didn't know this because I thought we were only supposed to have two.
We were only supposed to have two.
Of course you would try to pull out extra one. I'm really eager to hear this now.
Short clip. So there's someone you haven't heard about in a pretty long time.
I already know who it is.
And you know that person. That person goes by many names.
True.
In this show in particular, we've called him Jesus.
He who shall not be named.
He who shall not be named.
Yes.
I'm trying to think what
I think Juan.
Juan. Yes. Juan is another. In addition to his actual name, John.
John.
So John is one of my best friends, mm-hmm. If not my very best friend, mm-hmm. and one of my oldest friends as well.
Yes.
And also just, you know, my arch nemesis.
Yes.
My torturer in chief, if you will.
I like
that. Second to you only.
Only because...
No.
Actually, I was going to say, I'm like...
You are second to him.
Yeah, and I live here. So like John lives in Chicago now, and John tortures you from afar.
Yeah.
He outdoes me by every measure.
Yeah, King Troll. But, you know, for better or worse, there's too much time has passed, you know?
It's true.
Like, we're just going to be friends, sadly. And John is someone, you know, we've gotten into it over the show. He's appeared on the show one time.
This beautiful episode.
And it's called John Then Baltimore.
Yes.
First half is a little, is you know, it includes him. So, you know, whatever. Second half is a little depressing. I just wanted to note that the second half is a turn there.
Yeah, there is a turn.
but we had chided John a lot. We had made fun of him a lot through the show, and he came on and, you know, we talked it out. So if you have a chance, go back and listen to the first half of that. I think it's somewhat rewarding. Mm-hmm. You might not care because you might not have heard the things that we said about him before, but it's still pretty fun.
He's a great guest. Yeah. John's a great guest.
But this point, this moment that I'm about to play, when John came in, John, I guess, did not realize that, like, this is a podcast. So, like, when you come in, you just turn the mic on.
They're hot.
It's not like radio where you're, like, live and, like, not live and, you know,
whatever.
No, it's just on. So we sit down, turn the mic on. Everybody's, like, you know, shuffling papers around, getting ready. And John just does this.
Okay, so one thing I just want to do.
Baby, I love making love in front of the mirror.
I'm about to put this shit in. This shit's gonna open
That's
the episode.
That's going in the fucking episode.
This is going in the fucking episode.
Oh, it's recording now?
So the pause you hear right after John belts out the tiniest bit of Neo.
Yes.
Mirror is the name of the song.
Yes.
That is us. That is Brittany and I in literal shock, because we do not know why John started singing, or, you know, what will provoke him to do something like that.
Well, he also, not only that, he interrupted you. You were about to start the episode. He was like, "Wait, I just got to do one thing." Like, what? What?
It was just so odd. Also odd, just because, like, I mean, I like Neo.
I like Neo.
Those early albums, fire. Yeah. Like, play them front to back.
Neo can write the hell out of a song.
Yeah, Don't Sleep. But it wasn't like Mirror was on the air.
No, he wasn't. That wasn't like one of Neo's leading singles. Like, that means that John was listening to that album and felt that so deep that he was like, wait, I'm filing in front of a microphone. Let me share my piece. Like, what?
Also, that song is about a person and their partner having sex
in front of a mirror. I caught that part.
In usually the songs that I'm thinking about when I'm in the room with two of my best friends are not the ones about having sex in front of a mirror, and I especially don't feel so moved to sing about that in the presence of my friends. Anyway, so I just had to note that I couldn't close out this episode, or even maybe this show, without having ridiculed him one more time.
Oh, John.
For the public.
I miss you, John.
We do miss you.
Yes.
You should consider coming back to New York.
Yeah, you should come. Yeah, he's getting married. John's getting married next year. Congratulations, John. We're really excited. Can't wait to attend the wedding. It's going to be beautiful, I'm sure. If it's anything like your voice, it's going to be gorgeous.
Okay.
Gorgeous.
All right. Well, on that note, we're actually we mentioned at the top of the episode that we would have something for you at the bottom of the episode.
Yes, 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 yes.
So we are really excited.
So hype.
To play for you for the first time the trailer.
Yes.
For our brand new show.
Yes.
The Nod.
The Nod.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Here it go.
From Gimlet Media, this is The Nod.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
We're lifelong friends.
And for as long as we can remember, we have been obsessed with the stories and the people who define what it means to be Black.
That's Black with a capital B.
We are Blackness's biggest fans. And on this show, we're going to explore the stories about Blackness that you don't often hear.
Excuse me, do you carry grape drink?
No, we carry only juice, grape juice.
The juice is not going to work, though, right?
I got to see. I got to verify.
I was like, I am Dorothy. Do you even? I'm going to ease on down this road, and you're going to follow me.
So I would have, like, a white do-rag, a red headband, red wristbands, and red and white shoelaces.
We'll talk to the people who fascinate us.
All of them are like, you're too risque. We need you to write a typical black romance type of novel or something like that. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I didn't come checking for y'all. I mean, I don't even know if I want to do this.
And we'll bring in friends and family along the way.
And now we have entered the strange limbo between putting our daughter to sleep and putting ourselves to sleep.
What are you doing?
I am narrating our lives.
We'll have some fun, play some games.
All right, 4 minutes on the clock. As much peanut butter on that spoon as you can. Go. And sometimes things get a little spicy.
A bonnet, a shower cap, rollers, none of that ever stopped me from getting it in. So when people be like, I can't have sex with a woman that got a bonnet on, what's wrong with you, bro?
Join us as we dive into the biggest moments and most underexplored corners of Black culture. The Nod premieres on Monday, July 17th. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who among us hasn't had an encounter with a histamine and broken out? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, who among us? Encounter with a histamine?
Do you have seasonal allergies?
I do.
Okay, then you know what Solange has been through. All right, so hopefully you guys like that little taste of the show.
Yes.
And next episode, I think you're going to get an even bigger taste. Like
bigger chunk.
Yeah, bigger chunk, like before anybody else is going to hear it. You guys are going to get an exclusive. In the meantime, if you want to join us on the next part of our journey, then please go to forcolorednerds.com and you can like enter your email in so you can subscribe to our new newsletter and be among the first people to hear about the show. You can also subscribe to The Nod on Apple Podcasts, mm-hmm. on SoundCloud, Stitcher, you know, wherever.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Wherever podcasts are found, you will be able to find us there at The Nod. And also you can follow us on social.
Yes.
At The Nod Show.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
All right. And also, you guys, that For Colored Nerds merch.
Yes. Oh, actually, seriously, though, last chance. Yeah. Once The Nod comes out, there will be no store.
Yeah.
So we might do, if you go to the website forcolorednerds.com, there's a link for a store. You might see some bit of a closeout sale.
Yep. Fire sale. Fire. So
get it while you can.
I'm about to get it. So y'all should get it, too. But yeah, I guess until 2 weeks from now, when we actually have our very last episode, we will holler at you guys later. So thanks for rocking with us.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon for the last time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.